Yes, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk. Black as I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Radio Service. We're going to jump straight in. We've got Aunty Graceland Smallwood on the line, and let's talk about Aboriginal deaths and custody coming from Black Death Matters in regard to the death of George Floyd over in the States. Aunty, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Just very disturbed about all the raw wounds coming up from the United States and with what's been happening in our country for the past 230 years, probably.
Well, exactly, and we've got our own George Floyd moments in this country, over 400 deaths, black deaths in custody. So the US Black Lives Matter, and with the death of George Floyd, has shone the light on black deaths in custody in Australia, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure, and it really disturbs me that mainstream media are mostly saying, oh, you know, we don't have that problem in Australia. I don't know what cloud these mainstream media are on, but the mainstream media has a lot to answer for the continual racism and bigotry behaviour towards our people. And every statistic you can talk about, incarceration, suicide, heart disease, all of those things, we're in one of the richest countries in the world, and our people are 3% of the population, and we have all the illnesses and dysfunction that's not even in developing countries. So it's just appalling that they're saying, oh, you know, the United States have got it hard and we've got it made over here. And
no.
We all know, I mean, your audience, everybody knows, but it's those white fellas out there that we have to educate.
Exactly.
Because all of this has been bloody suppressed, and it's our own mob. We've all got to start coming together in unity. And, you know, we had our resistance in Palm Island when Brother Murungi was killed in custody. And
yes.
No police officer went to jail.
Yep.
And we love white Australia, and there are a lot of good white fellas out there.
There is.
To join our sorry business and demonstrate peacefully. I've been in that many demonstrations all around this country and overseas, and it's usually the police that kick off the violence.
Yes.
And now they're saying all the white fellas over there have got their own agenda, that they're not really supporting black fellas and racism, that they just want to get their own agenda out there. Well, sorry, it's white fellas now are finding out the true history of what happened in America, what's going on in Australia, and they're starting to show us a bit of unity, and we need them to be on our side and stand up for our rights, especially in the area of death in custody.
Yes, exactly. And it's sad it takes another black death in custody, no matter where it is on the globe, that shines a light on black death in custody in Australia. I mean, looking at your own backyard is what we're talking about, aren't we?
That's right. Pot calling the kettle black there. And it was all on the mainstream, on the Channel 7 media was cracked by the police. Hello? Lucky they weren't killed by the police. I don't say that bluntly. Our people are getting so much violation. There's been research and witnesses, and so many of our people are dying in custody, and it's just nothing's happening. No police officer has ever gone to jail, or no security guard has ever gone to jail, or no doctors have gone to jail when our mob have been killed in the mental health wards. You know, it's just like normal behaviour.
Exactly.
And, we've got to get it out there, brother, and that's why we like talking to black media, because they tell the truth.
Exactly.
And the white media tells their own version of events, you know?
But they all head in the sand, denial, you know? And denial ain't no river in Egypt, honey.
Yeah, that's for sure. Then all the rubbish that they said after our brothers and sisters got the 30 million, they should have got 60 million.
Exactly.
For how they were treated on Palm Island.
And then there was dramas about what they were spending the money on. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. And the same legal team, Levitt and Robertson, have got a payout for all the white fellas for Storm Financial. Nobody questioned where they spend their money.
Exactly.
Nobody questions where non-Indigenous people spend that. I don't care if they spent the money on jumping on a rocket and going up to Mars or going to Hawaii. That's their business. what they do.
Yep.
And the racism and the lies, saying people in jail got the money, a 3-year-old child got over 100 grand, and dead people got the money.
Would you go so far as to say Australia's got a problem regarding racism?
Have they got a problem? They're in denial that they think they've been here 60,000 years like us fellas, you know?
Exactly.
And have they got a problem? They'd love us to be all annihilated and move on to Mars, but we've really got to start standing up for our rights. Now, we've all been doing it for 50 years with so many of our people. Whether you're in the government or not, you can still have peaceful protests and tell the truth, because no stone is going to be left uncovered with what's going on with Black Australia. And
sure.
With all this, we've got such a long way to go, but the native title weakening of the of Uncle Koiki's and the plaintiffs, and today's Mabo Day, the watering down of the Mabo legislation has really decimated our communities, where families aren't talking to families. And the government has...
And the government loves that. They love it when we fight amongst ourselves.
That's for sure. And it's bringing... We've got the highest black youth suicide rate in the world, brother.
Yes.
And we need all the adults coming together for the future of our little children. We've got 8 and 9 and 10-year-olds, and on average 17 to 20, taking their lives all around the country. These are from the unresolved grief, loss and trauma, but we need the parents, the adults, to all start coming together for cultural healing, to get rid of all that trauma, grief and loss, and our men take their place rightfully in our household and our communities, because our men are dying at such alarming rates, and a large percentage are in jail. So
yep.
We just need some role models for our beautiful children, because they think it's normal behaviour, all this crime. So Mabo Day, we got some form of sovereignty and native title, and then it was watered down. We're just hoping we get a treaty, a Bill of Rights, serious business on the Constitution, and we're asking for our sovereignty, which we never seceded. And we can only get that if all the blackfellas come together and we get the support from a lot of social justice whitefellas once they learn the truth of the horrendous behaviour of what's going on with mainstream Australia to our people.
Yes. So we're still behind the eight ball, a long way to go. Arnie Dracelin, thank you very much. All the best to you, my darling. We'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you. Watermully.
Watermully. Beautiful yarn there with Arnie Dracelin Smallwood, Professor Dracelin Smallwood, and a talk regarding the Black Lives Matter in the US with the death of George Floyd. And she stated that we have our own George Floyd moments in this country, over 400 black deaths in custody. And so in actual fact, US Black Lives Matter has shone the light on black deaths in custody in Australia. Have you say you mob yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your sober calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Too Deadly, stay tuned, you mob, and join in conversation. Too Deadly.
welcome to Super Fats. Can I take your order?
Hello, I'll get a double saturated fat burger with a super sweet sugar shake, please. And you want something? Which way are you in the back there?
Oh, hi there. Can I please get a mega cheese bucket with gravy? Thank you.
And the deep fried chicken with extra batter.
Okay, I have your order confirmed. Would you like to upsize your chances of getting type 2 diabetes?
Hey, turn the radio off. Excuse me, what do you mean? Because we don't want type 2 diabetes.
Are you sure?
Nah, we'll be right. Let's get out of here.
To reduce your risk of getting type 2 diabetes, you should eat plenty of fruit and vegetables every day. And less fatty and sugary foods, drink more water and drink less sugar drinks, go for a walk every day for 30 minutes, and have a health check at your local health service. Remember, eat healthy, drink healthy, live healthy, and prevent type 2 diabetes. This is an initiative of Woodchopperin Health Service and Diabetes Queensland.
Station sponsor.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that chopping number again is 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call if you're going to have your say here on National Talk Black, live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We've got Across the Nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and also check us out on Facebook as well, BBM 987 FM. Yeah, the main topic at the moment is black deaths in custody with the loss of life to George Floyd in America, US, Minneapolis. Black Lives Matter has shone the light on black deaths in custody in Australia. And when you look at non-Indigenous journalism happening over in America and talking about, gee, we're lucky living in Australia and, you know, we don't have this sort of stuff going on. Well, in actual fact, we do. We have our own George Floyd moments in this country when you look about when you look at over 400 black deaths in custody, and you know, no one's has been sent to jail on it. So there it is. So there is a conversation that's going on at the moment in regard to black deaths in custody, and it'll never stop until something is done there. So we do have our own black deaths in custody here in this country. Let's not also forget we got a Mabo Day happening today, and a big shout out and kind guard, love and regards going out to the Mabo family in regard to Mabo Day. And the Australian High Court delivered the Mabo decision, which recognised that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples have a special relation with the land. This paved the way for land rights known as native title, and you can check out more information on the web, of course, regarding Mabo. Right, we're going to catch up a yarn with the Boys in Blue from Edmonton Police. I believe my cousin Rob Hollingsworth on the line, and Sergeant Glenn Delay, and we're going to yarn about black deaths in custody. But look, this deadly program is called Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi IGA and Brinsmead in Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Brippen Media. Got them on the line. A very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Trevor.
Thanks for coming to the program, gentlemen. Look, uproar in regard to Black Lives Matter, which has shone a light on black deaths in custody, and talking to you gentlemen as in Boys in Blues, we do have a situation here regarding police enforcement and how they go about it, make sure they do it properly. Yep.
Look, Trevor, I think when these things raise awareness for any human rights, this is a good thing. This is not a bad thing.
Yes.
People are a bit upset about what's going on. When it comes to the service like this, one of the good things that happens is it gets a lot of media attention. Mm. I know your BBM have always been very good with getting this message out to the community. Some of our other media outlets aren't so don't have the interest in it. This is a good thing. Let's get this out and talk about it, because any death in custody is a tragedy. It's not just the death. There's families behind these people.
Sure.
There's whole communities behind these people that are affected by it.
And when you look at the video of the officer holding George Floyd down at the beginning, even in America, the state that's and would be the same here in Australia, that's not an actual hold when you got a knee on someone's neck. Is that right?
Trevor, when I first saw this footage and some of the protests had already started by then, it was actually my children that showed me the footage, and I was disgusted by what I was seeing. You know, this you're right. That is certainly not any sort of a restraint that
yes.
Queensland Police or any of the services in this country would use. One of the training, a part of our training with our use of force is we have awareness of positional asphyxiation.
Yep.
You know, and that is exactly what's happening in this case here. Now, when you've got someone on the ground and they're saying, "I can't breathe," it's very important to get that person into a recovery position.
Yes.
Look, if you've got to let the handcuffs off that person, you would do that immediately.
Sure.
You know, so, and look, I'll speak freely on it because we're talking about a completely different country here. You know, this is something that we wouldn't see in this country. I would hope, our training would say that we don't ever put someone into a hold like that. We don't ever have a knee into someone's neck.
Sure.
Like that. And certainly, if they were protesting with breathing difficulties. You would need to act very, very quickly.
Exactly. And when you look at yourself as a non-Indigenous police officer holding down a black man in custody, or Rob, you as a black man, Rob, cousin Rob, wearing a uniform holding down a white, it doesn't matter what colour we're talking here, it's the process in regarding detaining an individual, yep?
That's right, Trevor, and look, we initially take that sworn officer oath, you know,
exactly.
Protect and serve, and that's what we all believe that we should be doing, you know, in this role, so it's a very tragic incident,
yes.
Policing has to be here in some form or facet, and this is just a big awareness of everything that we as not only the community, but also police officers face each day as well.
Sure, exactly. And look, you are the front line, of course, and protect and serve, and as riots are happening and what have you, but you are still there doing your job in regards to if someone, like everyone's focused on COVID-19 and focused on the Black Lives Matter and black deaths in custody, but there was somebody breaking the house right now, they'd be calling the police, so to speak. So you're there to protect and serve, and as long as everyone does their job, we won't have problems, bro.
Yeah, but look, Trevor, I want to add there also, when we say we protect and serve, that includes the person in our custody.
Yes.
So look, yeah, absolutely, we've got people that break into houses and do the wrong thing, you know, but we still need to worry about their human rights and make sure that they are safe as well. I mean, our job's to bring them before the court.
Sure.
It always will be, and people do resist when police try to make an arrest. We deal with that, and we hopefully have the skills and tools to bring that person safely to the courts, and if they require incarceration, that they are safe while they're incarcerated. And that's always got to be a priority of every police service or force on the earth. You know,
mm-hmm.
So we're not there to. Be the judge and executioner here either. You know, it's our role is to bring people before the courts and keep them safe.
All right, can you paint the picture in regard to, looking at that situation, when an officer is holding down, or a couple of officers holding down an individual, the other officers standing around, if they can see that something's going on where it's crossing the line, they need to speak up as well. Like the other officer who stood there, he hasn't been charged, plus the other two officers haven't been charged in regard to the case. It's up to them to, if they can see something going wrong, to speak up as well?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that we reinforce with the officers in Queensland is that if they see something wrong, now that's not just use of force, that's any misconduct, criminal activity, and in this case here, the health and safety of someone, that they speak up then and there. We don't wait to down the track to talk about it. The bystanders, the community that were filming this incident, they could see what was happening.
Yes.
And the officers were the ones that have failed in regards to, what...
Well, their associate wasn't acting right, but they didn't act on it as well.
Yeah, and I agree. There was a number of people with investment with this issue,
yes.
And yes, one man one officer was on top of this man, but there's a number of officers there that could have prevented this incident from happening. So, and now look, what we have is is obviously, you know, community unrest.
Exactly.
Damage of property, and people are angry. But,
you know, it could be also brought across without all that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So when you're looking at restraining an individual, there's a fine line. Well, there's a line. And if you cross that line, then the restraint now becomes an assault, even though you were in the uniform, yep?
Yeah, and absolutely. And, you know, being a police officer does not make you exempt from
exactly.
from an assault or criminal charges. You
exactly.
know? We know that very well. If any member of the public believes that there's an officer that's crossed that line, they should make a complaint, and you know, and we'll address their concerns. Because what we don't want to have is officers, you know, using or abusing their powers, and then going on down the track, we have a tragic incident like this. We need to nip that in the bud right at the early stages of their career, and hopefully people have the strength to speak up against officers if they're doing the wrong thing.
Exactly.
And bring it to the supervisor's attention so that we can deal with that sort of behaviour.
Big time. Now, regarding all police officers, probably in Queensland, I don't know if it would be other states and territories, all Queensland police officers have the camera on their chest, is that right?
Yeah, look, some slip through. Some of our junior officers don't have their cameras, and that's purely that because of resources of what we can, but every crew should have a camera.
Yep.
Now, when they make the decision to use a power under any legislation, that's when that camera should be turned on. And, you know, they're probably one of the greatest things that's happened.
Well, for both parties, protects the officer and the detainee, yeah?
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, and I've had a look at a few disciplinary investigations where, you know, we go to the footage and there's no lying. There it is. It's right in front of our
faces. Exactly.
And, you know, this George Floyd incident has you know, I know a lot of people are saying if the public had not filmed this, would we believe the officers? You know, there'd always be that clouded area where
exactly.
whether this had happened or not. And look, it is there for us all to see and judge, and we can see what's actually happened. So.
The other question that comes to mind is when an incident like this happens, the officer is stood down and with pay is what I believe. If a civilian did something like that was on film, that person would be in jail until court time. Is that the case?
Look, to hold anyone in custody, there's a number of things that need to come into play of why we would object to their bail. So it's not necessarily true that a member of the public would be held in custody if they'd committed these offences. You know, assaults happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if it resulted in the death of someone, yeah, you know, you're right. If there was evidence to prove that this person...
died from the incident.
Yep, and compelling evidence that they'd committed the actions to cause someone's death. That's something for the courts to decide whether that person needs to be held in custody, or whether they're a risk to the community, a flight risk, or whether if they're going to you know, hang around for their court matter and face justice, and they're safe enough to be let out of the community, that they would be let out. So I don't think it's going to be too much difference to whether it's a police officer or a civilian.
Yes.
The courts would
so in actual fact that the decision lies with the courts. It's out of your hands and out of civilians' hands.
That's right. But you know, like where it gets untidy, Trevor.
Of course.
Is the actions of the investigators. Like I know in Queensland, if we have a death in custody, our ethical standards commands are pretty well notified immediately.
Yep.
They will fly up from Brisbane to any area in Queensland to conduct the investigation.
Yes.
So it's not investigated by local officers. So we have that separation between local officers who know each other and the ethical standards command. I know those investigations, you know, some police feel that they're quite brutal, but that's a good thing because that's the transparency coming out there. They're not going to investigate death in custody and do it, you know, a half effort there. They go to great lengths to prove exactly what had happened, to the point where they almost don't even talk to the unless they're interviewing, they don't even associate with the police officers involved, you know. And we've learned from them failings with Palm Island and other issues like that, where them investigations haven't probably thorough enough to the community expectations.
Mm. Exactly. Look, a very important conversation. It's out there. It's over the globe, and look, we can all learn by it across the globe in regarding this matter. But look, thank you very much for sharing, my brothers.
And look, one thing I'll just say, Trevor, if people feel like protesting with this, you know, that's absolutely what they should do.
And they're right to do that. Yep.
If they could just
peaceful
remain peaceful is the message from us. You know.
Yes.
Protest peacefully. Silent majority. And be seen, and that way there we can at least get people through without committing more offences.
Exactly.
Or having that sort of unrest that we're seeing in America in this country.
Hear, hear. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy and Cousin PLO, Police Liaison Officer Rob Hollingsworth. All the best, Edmonton Police.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks, guys. A beautiful yarn there, and that's with the boys in blue. We have Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy and also Police Liaison Officer Cousin Rob Hollingsworth. The program is Which Way Yarning, that segment, and proudly sponsored by I'm Piconi, IGA, and give us a box of food here at Bummer Bipper Media. And the yarn there was very important regarding what's happening at the moment in the globe. They talk about a pandemic, COVID-19. Some people have mentioned in regard to black deaths in custody or Black Lives Matter is another pandemic. So look, add to the conversation here on your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call. Otherwise, text the brother 0457140550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And like I mentioned, it is Mabo Day in celebrating the High Australian High Courts delivered the Mabo decision back in day, June 3rd. So look, add to the conversation here, you might 1-800-422-416.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, memory on the wall there. Black image here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? I think we got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good afternoon. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, what's
it feels like I've been here all day. How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm getting you. I'm going to repair that other picture, I promise you, for the thing there. I'm in the town getting all the...
Yeah, when you done. Can, my friend. Thank you very much. Fantastic.
I've got to keep busy, you understand?
Yes, I hear you. Very important.
I was happy to hear Graceland Smallwood, professor there, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're really on the same page in being Mabo Day. And as you said, everything's, you know, we try to add on to Mabo's work. We respect his self-determination.
Mm.
And it has been watered down to the state of being anti-reconciliatory. It's still Reconciliation Week, so we can put them two things together, eh?
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And look, it's the High Court decision, yeah, back in the day, it's it just stated the fact that there were First Nation people in this country, you know what I mean?
They're still here, mate. Don't tell anybody.
Exactly. That's why I don't tell anybody. Yeah, I know. They let the cat out of the bag.
That's what, I mean, it is, you don't want to laugh, but you have to, because we're living in a state of ridiculous, they call it reconciliation, but with native title. I mean, if that was the High Court decision, it should be the same everywhere, exclusive possession for that tribe.
Mm.
But I call it reconciliation, to just keep taking this stuff from the government. And if people have to protest or do whatever they've got to do, they have to do it.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm specifically talking about Goldsboro and too much corporation, and I hear the dingy government man talking, and they want to be careful they just don't recreate themselves in the same style as the government they're fighting, you know?
Mm. Second that, brother, second that.
But I'll just leave it short today because it's an important day. And one of them Great Island songs is that Black Swan song, you know. I don't know if anybody knows it. Nobody.
Black Swan, I'll trace it up for you, brother.
Oh, that's an island song, so I'll play it for Mr. Mabo and his spirit and his family. And we would like equal rights on the mainland. This is the point of this call.
Exactly.
A lot of the island people, they've got some thing.
Mm.
But on the mainland, we're all refugees still, you know, and when you're refugees and you want to be on country, you are a prisoner. You are in a house. You are locked up. It's assimilation. Mm. Assimilation is a crime. Some people don't want to be in a house. They want to be living their traditional life, and they're still capable of doing it. But
true.
The more this goes on, the more skills and culture are lost, because you cannot teach in town. It has to be done on the land, you know.
On country, that's right, exactly right. So the spirit is strong, brother.
So we hope the Goldsboro one day gets a better deal. Then I mean, we could have three royal inquiries going, you know. There's health... corruption and land council and the whole stuff and people. One more thing I want to say is they talk about business. Everybody's mostly white people complaining their business is shut down. We've had this done to us all the time, you know. Mm. We can't take our business on the land. I mean, how can you call native title when you're only allowed to camp for 3 days and build a mai-mai, a grass hut? That's what we got. And it's a long way from a High Court decision. So why haven't we got that? So John Howard, I've still got a toilet roll at home with his face on it and put it in camera.
Mm. I hear you, brother.
Yeah, I'll say no more. I'm going to go.
All right, my brother. Thank you very much, Tony Gibbs. Have your say, your mob. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Coming live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BB and Bumba, Bit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Here in Queens, it's 11:43, so about 18 minutes ago on the program. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Long time now, Nalabat Binjiran, right here along with this country. Long time now, Yuma Pilkaman, right here along with this country. Today we all sit down here, together. Rocking.
A long time ago, the ancestors walked this earth, creating the world that we know. They made the trees, the plants, and the animals, and life was given to the land. This was the time of the dreaming, a very powerful and spiritual time. Today we live in a dreaming. This is our culture and our tradition.
Walking together, Black Mala Music here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Give the Murray a call, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up now with brother Coco Wayne Wharton on the line. Coco, very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate.
Thank you very much coming to the program. Look, an uproar in regard to George Floyd, Black Lives Matter over in the US, but we got our own George Floyd moments here in this country, over 432 black deaths in custody, and that's the topic we're talking about with you, my brother.
Yeah, well, I think it's the big issue is, I guess, where we go from here, Trav, is that the last initiative that we've had was the appointment of police liaison officers.
Mm.
You know, that was an initiative that came out of Black Deaths in Custody in Townsville in 1988. And, you know, 1988's a long time ago, and I reckon I'm calling on the Commissioner of Police, Katerina, or she's still there, and to open dialogue now with the community to look out. You know, Chris Early is the main one. Chris Early and what happened on Palm Island could never be forgotten. And he's still a police officer, and he still should be charged.
Sure, exactly.
And you know, there's got to be another. If there's no mechanism within the police force to have in charge or within the government has to create one.
Well, because you wear a uniform, that doesn't mean that you're not a criminal, you know what I mean? If you're doing wrong by the law itself, then you are crossing the line.
Well, if there's not a law that governs the behaviour of police, when two people walk into a cell and one dies and the other one is the police officer, something's wrong.
Yeah, hello.
And if something's wrong, well, then it's up to the police to fix it.
Now,
we see the police in this state, you know, I couldn't count the amount of times that, you know, I've physically been with them, or my brothers, or other people, and, you know, you've had cousins, relatives, there's not a black fella in this country that doesn't have a person that has suffered at the hands of the police. It wasn't too long ago they were called the police force. Not the police service, the police force.
Yeah, exactly.
In recent times that they changed their name to service, but they've forgotten changing your name to service doesn't mean sweet FA if you don't
act on it.
With actions.
Yes.
And that's the challenge for the police. If they want respect of young black fellas, whether it's in Townsville, Brisbane, Moree, or Sydney, or Redfern, they've got to back it up with put some meaning to this word service.
Mm.
And, you know, you know, we want to see not 3,000 police going to the Broncos League Club and voting in favour to support Hurley over killing our brother on Palm Island.
Yep.
You know, that's just blind fury. 3,000 people not giving a hoot about this young man that died so aggressively in custody. And, you know, like you said, there's 432 young women, 18-year-old women in Western Australia. You know? And these are not even the ones we're counting. These are the ones that we haven't counted. With David Dengue, you know, the family's been screaming out for a year and a half for him, you know, to in Sydney, where he was held down by 8. We all saw the footage.
Yes.
Everyone sees the footage. You know, what's happening with the heads of these coronial inquests? It's a heap of bullshit. And people have got to, you know, people have got to stand up, and I'm saying to all the young fellas in Cairns and wherever you're listening, you know, you don't take it lying down. You're hiding nothing. You still get up the next day.
Yep, exactly. And you've got a march going on in Brisbane, is that right, brother?
Yeah, well, we're marching right around the country, brother.
Yep.
All the mob in Perth went last night, but they're going again Saturday. Melbourne's going Saturday. All the young people have organised it. Sydney, Brisbane. We're hoping that Rockhampton, especially Rockhampton Blackfellas, if they're listening, we're hoping that, you know, them for someone. And I want to say to people in these towns, and you don't have to be a big noter or a big mouth to call it. Put your hand up, put your hand up.
Yes.
Like, we're going to march, I'm going to lead it, we're going to go down here, we're going to start from the football field, we're going to start from the mall, we're going to start from the police station.
And the peaceful movement it is, and that speaks in large volumes, doesn't it, when we're talking about a peaceful movement?
Of course it is, and we've been the peaceful. You know, the biggest arrest that Blackfellas get arrested for is disturbing the peace.
Yes.
And the only time that we disturb the peace is when the police come and disturb our peace.
Yeah, there you go, point taken.
That's their trump card. And what they did to that young fella in Redfern last night was just plain cheeky. That was just plain cheeky. And his officers, they should have him, but you know, it's no good pulling him up. The case is like Hurley's case where he's murdered somebody.
Sure.
You know, it's the cases like Calvin Condren, where he spent 9 years in jail. It's the cases like the boy Henry in Rockhampton, where he's spent so much time in jail. It's that young girl Jude in Western Australia.
Yep.
It's the boy in South Australia, you know. It's... It goes back to John Pack in Western Australia and how viciously and maliciously he was beaten and died. And, you know, these people in white Australia has got to understand that they've got to do something about it.
Mm.
And every time we march, we march for justice, and we don't see it. And the police have made up the enemy. And our young Murrays get out on parole, they get profiled, they get pinched, they get locked up again.
Mm.
You know, and
target on their back.
And you ask any of our people about intergenerational trauma. You know, this is what's been passed down to them when we pulled our own uncles out of the river.
Exactly.
They were given such a hiding and whatever, and they drown them in the river. But you know, we know all these things are fact, but the coroner and white Australia are saying, and it's not so much white Australia, it's white and brown Australia, are saying all the immigrants that come here, they're so stupefied that they support the mainstream policies anyway. And we're saying to them is that, you know, it's okay to feel sorry, but we can show you films of David Dengue, we can show you footage of this, but the police force and the government, Phil Shorten should be ashamed of himself, getting onto the bloody media the other day and trying to talk it up. He's the biggest hypocrite in this country. Him and Kevin Rudd all had an opportunity to put systems in place with the police forces in various countries, various states, and they did nothing. The same as Morrison does nothing. And to stand up there like Morrison does and to say to the rest of the world, we don't have that problem in Australia. Well, when the boys burnt down the jail in Redfern, when they rioted in Cullamulla in 72, when they rioted in Townsville and Palm Island, you know, this stuff went around the world.
Mm.
And ScoMo and these idiots shouldn't... You know, we've got allies in other parts of the world, in America. It was good to see a lot of blackfellas, few black.
But we've got to clean up our own backyard, is what you're saying, Coco?
Well, not we, brother. Not
yeah, thank
we.
You. Okay, yeah, but Australia not has.
We, not we,
thank you.
Have.
Yep, I'm hearing you, bud.
34 million people that think they can decide on our future, they have the responsibility to do something about it.
Mm.
We have tried. We've tried telling them. We've tried telling Kevin Rudd. We've tried telling Shorten. Look at what John Howard did to us. You know, his answer to us was to strip us from $600 million.
Mm.
You know? And look, I'm proud to see blokes like Murundu and Lexi Watton and the women on Palm and the people in Cooktown standing up. Look, it was only a year ago that they went and shot that young man in Cooktown 5 times in the belly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's no reason for this. But the Murdoch media, the Channel 9 media, the Channel 7, they don't put any of our stories to air. They don't teach the stuff. They don't discuss the stuff.
They're hiding the so-called shame, brother.
Yes, but the system's not broken here.
Mm.
They made this system to work like this. Now, they have the tools to change it so that we can get justice for Dengue, so we can get justice for brother out of Yuendamu, so we can get brothers. Those 432 people, those people, all those cases have to be retried, and they have to be tried in a system that is fair and just.
Yes.
And the system that exists at the moment is not fair, is not just, and society is to blame for this. Society accepts what the legal system gives them. Society, the border society, the Australian society is to blame because they accept the people like Shorten and the people like ScoMo.
Well, we're black people. We take on board. There's one rule for one, different rule for another.
Exactly. And then people wonder why our young people under the age of 16 stealing cars and running them up. Well, where did they learn that from? Where did they learn to steal from? Where did they learn to loot? You go and ask yourself where all our skeletons are. Where's all our law instruments? They're sitting in museums and private collections around the world. They've got no permission to them. We've still got half. You know, we've got bodies, we've got bones, we've got skulls, we've got bloody parts dismantled all around the museums around the world, sitting in these white fellows' museums.
Yeah.
They never asked for
Point taken. Things. Brother, so you got the march going on in Brisbane. When and where, what time, and a peaceful one at that?
Well, the young people, there's a lot of good young people around this country, and they're not scared, they're not frightened, and they're very courageous, and they're standing up. And they've got it organised for lunchtime in Brisbane.
Okay.
And their allies, and this is one thing I will say, is what's come out of the last couple of years, is that the non-Aboriginal supporters, the allies to this system, are very courageous as well.
Mm.
And we've seen it in parts of America where non-African-American women and men, white women and men, have stood up there as human shields. And I think that's the dialogue that's got to come out of it. And like I said, our young fellas, we make up 40-60% of the jails around this country.
Yes.
And they're getting sick of it. A lot of us older fellas are getting sick of it. And a lot of the public. And as we keep saying, as the dinosaurs die off, their control becomes less upon what society's rules and norms are. And people like Chris Hurley have to go to jail.
Yep.
People involved in the killing of Miss Jude have to go to jail, have to lose their jobs.
Yep.
The people that killed David Dengue have to go to jail, have to lose their jobs.
And we're not talking about being stood down and getting paid while they're being stood down.
No, the bloke that offended the other day kicked a young fella and bashed him, and then this knees in the neck shit's got to stop.
Yeah, exactly,
you
brother.
All it takes is the Katerina, the Commissioner of Police and the Commissioner of Police and the Chief and the Inspectors of Police in their districts to say to their officers, take your knees off their necks. The next officer that puts his knees on someone's neck or kicks someone in the kidneys or in the ribs, they're going to jail. They're
exactly.
Off the police force.
Make your point, my brother Coco. I got to keep moving. Thank you very much for sharing, Cass.
Yep, no worries. So happy Mabo to everybody.
Yeah, happy Mabo. Thank you, my brother. That's Coco Wharton there, Wayne Wharton, and having his say and talking about the march there in Brisbane. Stay tuned, you mob. Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Got the news coming up through NIRS, but National Talk Black back in the hot seat again tomorrow, 1-800-422-416.
They take him away. As a young stockman, I